So if there's no questions, you can turn to page 16. One of the important tools is a timeout. And what we need to do is to explain the timeout to someone that we might have to take it with when things are calm. We don't want to have to wait until I need to take the timeout and then try to explain it. So when I sit down with someone and I say, listen, if we start to get into an argument and I get angry or upset, I'm going to announce to you, I'm getting angry and I need to take a timeout. What that means is that I'm going to leave for 1 hour, no more. I promise you when I leave that I'm not going to do any drugs or alcohol, and I'm not going to chase any members of the opposite sex. And if you can help it, you don't want to do any driving, because an angry person behind the wheel is a dangerous situation to put yourself in. So I'm going to leave for 1 hour. I'm going to calm myself down, and then I will come back and I will talk to you about whatever it was that I got angry about. If in talking to you, I get angry again, then I'll take another timeout. And I'll keep taking as many timeouts as I have to, because I want to demonstrate to you that I'm not going to allow something that we disagree about cause me to be verbally, emotionally, or physically abusive. Now, let's say I take the timeout and the hour's up, but I'm still upset. I need more time. Then I will call you and let you know that I need another 15 or 20 minutes. Because what I don't want to do is to use the timeout as a weapon to try to hurt the other person. Let them worry about me. Let them think I got in an accident. Let them think I'm running around on them. Because if I use a timeout that way, then after a while they're going to say, you don't know when to come home when you take a timeout. You're not going anywhere. And then they're standing in the doorway trying to prevent me from leaving, and I need to leave. And you can see what a dangerous situation that would be. Mm-hmm. So, now, let's say I take the time out and I've calmed down and I come back, but I'm not ready to talk about it because maybe it's still a little emotionally upsetting for me, or it requires a decision that I'm not ready to make. So I need to come back and say, listen, I've calmed down. I'm okay, but I'm not ready to talk about it. So then I need to give them a time in the future when I will be ready. Why don't we wait until I come home from work tomorrow and then we'll talk about it? Or I'd like to go to group and talk about it. Take the time out. I need to come back and talk to them about it. And if I say, uh-oh, they're not saying anything, maybe they forgot, I'm not going to say anything either. See, then they're going to after a while say, you know, every time you take a time out, we never resolve whatever you took the time out about. This is too important. You need to take a time out. I mean, you need to talk about this right now. And then they're going to put up that emotional wall. And then they're going to be standing in the doorway trying to prevent me from leaving. And I'm needing to leave. And I'm going to be back in that dangerous situation. So this is the timeout. There are three parts that make up the structure of the timeout. The first part is to announce that I'm taking one, because if I just get up and walk away, for all they know, I'm just blowing them off and I don't even care about what they're talking about. But when I announce to them that I'm taking a timeout, then they know that I do care, and that the reason I'm walking away is because I don't want to say or do something that's going to be hurtful. The second part of the structure of the timeout is to make sure that it's not longer than an hour. Because if I'm taking timeouts that are longer than an hour, they're going to think that I'm just using them as an excuse to get out of the house, and they're not going to be happy about that. And then the third is to make sure when I come back from the timeout that I talk about it. Otherwise, they're going to think that I'm just using the timeout as a way of avoiding having to deal with our challenges, and they're not going to be happy about that. So I need to announce that I'm taking a timeout. It needs to be no longer than an hour, and I need to talk about it when I come back. So that's the structure of the timeout. When I'm on the timeout, I need to look at what am I doing with my anger? Am I stuffing it? Am I escalating it? Or am I directing it? Stuffing is when I sit there and I say, I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to get upset. But it does bother me. It makes me frightened that I'm going to lose something that I have, or it makes me sad that I'm not going to get something I desire. And we all have an emotional cup, and it only holds so much. So you have this situation on a scale of 10, it's a 4. I put that in my cup. Earlier, we had an argument that was a 5. I put that in my cup. Yesterday we had a disagreement. That was a four. I put that in my cup. Then I had that thing with that guy at work. That was a five. So after a while, I've got all these fours and fives that are filling up my emotional cup to where I hardly have any room left in my emotional cup. And then something really big comes along and just causes my cup to overflow. And then I vomit emotionally all over the other person. That's stuffing. Escalating is when I sit there and I say, they said they were going to be home 2 hours ago and they're not home yet. I bet you they're doing this. I bet you they're doing that. And I'm sitting there and I'm pumping myself up and I'm getting angrier and angrier. They come walking in the door and in my mind, I've already got them tried and convicted. And now it's about giving them the sentence. So that's escalating. So obviously escalating and stuffing are not the positive things to do. The positive thing to do is to direct it. And if you go to the next page, there are three stages to directing. And the key, though, is that I use I statements where I talk about my experience, what's going on for me, and I avoid you statements where I'm talking about the other person's experience. You statements are attacking. You did this. You did that. You should have. You could have. And when a person feels attacked, then they're going to be defending themselves, thinking about what they're going to say to defend themselves. If they're thinking about what they're going to say, then they can't hear what I'm saying. And then I'm making it harder for them to hear what I'm asking for. Whereas if I'm talking about my experience, they don't have to defend themselves. They're going to hear me better, and there's going to be more potential for me to get what I'm asking for. So this is what it would sound like to use the three stages of directing with the I statements. I don't like it when my wife comes home from work 2 hours late. So that's what was done that I didn't like. I worry about her. I'm frightened and concerned for her safety. So I'm frightened and concerned. That's how it makes me feel emotionally. I would appreciate a phone call to let me know that she's working over. That's what I would rather have her do differently. Now, if I said that to you, you can get a feel for how that would impact you. But suppose instead I said, you were 2 hours late. You worried me to death. You didn't even call. You can see that the first way is a lot easier to hear. And if it's a lot easier to hear, it's going to be a lot easier to respond. And then there's going to be a better chance of me getting what I'm asking for. So that's the three stages of directing. So some of the important tools are taking timeouts, using the three stages of directing and the I statements. But one of the things that's very important is paying attention to what I'm feeling. And you'll hear me in group all the time saying, how did that make you feel? How did that make you feel? Because what happens is when we have a situation that causes us emotional pain, a lot of times what we do is we put up that emotional wall and try to numb out to it. Well, that wall doesn't discriminate. It doesn't keep out the bad feelings and only allow the positive feelings to come through. Emotional walls keep out all emotions. So if I want to be able to appreciate and enjoy the positive emotions in my life, I'm going to have to learn how to identify and alleviate the painful emotions. So paying attention to my feelings is a key part of the program.